step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Autosave. My name is Camille Salazar Hadaway, and here with me is my co-host, Mr. Nick Andrade. If you could only see what he's doing, you would regret that he's your co-host. He's doing like, what are these? What are these called? These hands where you put up your
hang loose,
your thumb.
Hang loose.
Oh, the hang loose. Oh, yeah. No. He's the party guy today. Hang loose.
You're on Discord with this bald man with glasses doing the hang loose sign. This 33-year-old man who is just talking about video games. So cool.
He's just hanging loose.
Hanging loose. You also introduce me as like I am a celebrity. You know what I mean? Like, and as well, can you believe it? It's actually Nick Andrade. Holy crap.
You're a celebrity in my eyes.
You are too.
But so are the M&M characters.
What, like the red and yellow peanut guy?
They're celebrity. Yeah, they're celebrities in my eyes.
So that's the bar is what you're saying? Because that's the first thing you said.
Yeah.
I think you're a celebrity, but I also think the M&M people are celebrities.
Yeah, they are. I would also say, you know, we're from Toronto. There was this whole Toronto raccoon thing. That's our celebrity right there. So that kind of gauges everyone's bar of what I believe is a celebrity or a celebrity.
You remember the little monkey that was at the Toronto IKEA?
The IKEA monkey. Yeah.
Yes.
Look up all these things if you're outside of Toronto. I know we have please. Lots of love in Ghana as well. So please look this up. It is funny.
We do. I love it. Shout out to the audience in Ghana. I can't believe that we were in our God of War walkthrough. We were number one in video game podcasts.
We're number one. But we couldn't be number one without everyone. But, you know, the reason why we're number one is because of all of you that listen. And as you know, we are continuing our dive into Gotham Knights. On last week's episode,
when I was still part of the League, we observed the court's growth in Gotham. Now you can see the city's rotten core.
They call what they're mining Dionysium, but it looks like it's from a Lazarus pit.
A foul substitute for the true miracle. A contaminated extract. For centuries, the court has been looking for a fountain of youth. Instead, they found the makings of undying monsters.
So those talons, that's what they're using to create them. So why not make a trade? A Lazarus pit for their science. You'd have a loyal army without ever recruiting another ninja.
Even in their current debased state, the League would never descend to such banality.
There was a lot of detective work that happened. We played around in some caves that are apparently were trying to be better caves than the Batcave. They did not succeed. Talking as if the cave is like a living entity, but it is. I feel like the Batcave and now every cave out there is its own little celebrity. But we also survived a close encounter with some feral owls and the voice of the court, who we think is Jacob Kane. And it also looks like the court isn't going to sit back while we try to uncover all the mysteries around them. But luckily for us, we found out what makes feral owls, which is Dionysium. And apparently it's linked to the Lazarus Pit, a la information from Talia al Ghul, who apparently also left the League of Shadows, but does not want the court to have their hands on anything to do with the Lazarus Pit, because the League is the only ones worthy of fully understanding the pit's potential. I mean, that to me kind of says she may still be in the League of Shadows. But that's another story we have to get to with our theories out there, because a lot is not adding up. And it looks like we're not going to get any answers, especially from Talia, even though she wants us to help her put a stop to the court. There is a lot to unpack, a lot of mysteries in the air, and we're going to get to them. But first, okay, we gotta talk about, you know, last episode we talked about our favorite Batman animated shows. And that comes, unfortunately, right now, when we're recording this, we learned that Kevin Conroy, the voice of many shows that we talked about, has passed away. We, of course, did not know that last episode when we recorded it. But I want to kind of go back on talking about Kevin Conroy's influence on children, and like now, like we're adults. It seems like it was just yesterday, but it's so long ago. We were sitting in front of those TV screens watching the animated series, and he's made such a huge impact. I feel with anyone that watched those shows or even played the Arkham games or had any iteration of the Kevin Conroy voice, if you've heard that, it definitely made an impact on you. So what was your favorite thing about how Kevin Conroy brought Batman to life?
I just feel like he is Batman.
Yeah.
His voice is so perfect as when he is Bruce Wayne and when he is Batman. It's a voice that not many people have. And I don't think many people will have, but his voice is, to me, so iconic. More iconic, like like him and Mark Hamill side by side, both iconic. But when you think of like a voice actor, there's very few that you think of that is that one persona. And to me, even not just the animated series, but like the actual Batman movies, video games, whatever, if it's not Kevin Conroy, I don't want it. That's the thing too, is like I'm really sad thinking about the games. Like Gotham Knights, this game does not have Kevin Conroy as Batman, right? Mm-hmm. And it just seems so wrong. And I think Arkham Origins is the same thing. It was not Kevin Conroy because it was supposed to be a younger Batman.
Yeah.
Just felt wrong. Yeah. And then when Kevin Conroy steps in, he makes Batman Batman.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone else ever, any iteration, Christian Bale, Robert Pattinson, Michael Keaton, all those live action Batmans have nothing on Kevin Conroy. He has the best Batman voice of all time.
Yeah, I feel like that was so well said. Like Kevin Conroy, when you think to the impact that he's made on, yes, the character Batman, but also the industry. I think he was one of the first voice actors that I knew as a kid growing up and kind of brought the celebrityism around voice actors, especially when it comes to animated shows for kids, right? I don't think anyone was really thinking of, we didn't really know the voices behind this, but it was like, you knew, everyone knows who Kevin Conroy is because he just made that character so memorable that even now to this day, he's influenced how we hear Batman. So yeah, like you, he will always be that voice I hear when I see an image of Batman, when I see a movie, always. I'm going to always hear Kevin Conroy's voice first, before the actual voice actor or before the actor on screen. But to this day, games, shows, movies, cartoons, they're still trying to emulate that voice.
I can't do it. It'll never be.
It's very rare that you see a Batman that tries to diverge from what Kevin Conroy has done.
It's almost like a Freddie Mercury in a sense. Like you'll never find another voice like Freddie Mercury ever again. The same thing with Kevin Conroy. He's just so good. we were so blessed to like get Batman, full Batman games where you could play like 80 hours of him investigating things and investigating murders and going after things and hearing that voice. Like, it makes me want to go back and now watch all the animated series again and play all the Batman games again, because is just, his voice is so iconic, and I think he deserves all the praise that he has gotten throughout the years. He's just been an incredible voice actor.
You know, I said last episode, and I continue to do so, I've been watching a lot of the animated series again, and just every time you hear that voice in the lines, because also how they were making the shows back then were not, they were kind of campy. And, you know, how the series was written was trying to also bring this reality to who a vigilante would be, like, you know, who, what Gotham would be, but also make it appropriate so the TV stations won't pull the show, right? But also with how deep and like how powerful Kevin Conroy's voice was, just kind of led into that, that you really looked up to him as a figure of like a really sophisticated, mysterious superhero, right?
Yes.
So it's just amazing with everything that he brought there. And also, like, just how much he loved all the fandom around his characters that he brought to life. And of course, obviously, Batman being the one that he's most recognized for.
Can I just say one more thing? Mm-hmm. There is nothing better to me than a human being who has done comic stuff, who has done nerdy stuff per se, and who are proud of it.
Yes.
There's a lot of actors that do these things and they don't want to go to cons and they think their fans are weird or whatever the hell it is. Him, Mark Hamill, a bunch of other people.
Tara Strong.
Yeah. These people, like, the utmost respect I have for them when they are in the fandom and they don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to be typecasted or whatever the heck. I got to distance myself from being this character. After, you know, how many years, and you look back at your life, your 60s and your 70s or whatever, and you should be proud of that. And he was always proud of that. And to me, that's a huge thing.
I think that is the perfect way to just acknowledge how much I feel like he probably loved everyone that enjoyed his work. And you know what, Kevin Conroy, we enjoyed your work as so much. You made such an impact on all of us. Thank you for everything that you brought to us as fans of Batman. And thank you for continuing to make an impact on all those who grew up with you and inspired to see the adventures of Batman in shows, movies, and games.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Dionysium brought the Talons back to life.
Sort of. Dionysium's basically weak as hell Lazarus pit water. Brings back motor functions, but free will's as good as gone.
So what is a Talon exactly? Some kind of feral zombie assassin?
We've all seen weirder shit. Maybe.
Feral zombie? Sounds like Jason, all right.
Back to Belfry. We have Jason analyzing the Dionysium to find that it doesn't bring back the dead. You know, it's actually bringing back the dead in sort of like the zombie format, which are the Talons, the feral owls. And I just love his line. It's like some weak ass Lazarus pit. Jason, I think, is becoming my favorite characters with his lines.
He's such an asshole.
He is. He's like just some weak ass Lazarus Pit. But also, I do like the clap back at like, oh, that does sound like Jason. Because he died.
He's so emo half the time. Like, he always wants to butt heads with Dick. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Give it a break, buddy. We get it. You have a scar on your face. You're upset. You died once and had to be revived. We get it.
So you like the fact that Dick's like, yep, sounds like Jason, that clap back.
Listen, I'm Team Nightwing, okay?
All right.
That's why I'm playing him. I love being the leader.
All I say is you love being the leader and being the mean leader, apparently, not supportive at all. I don't think this is healthy for the Bat family. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I feel like some of these jabs, like, this is the stuff that Jason goes back home and then he cries about later at night.
He's like, Jason does not
they
cry.
They said I'm a zombie. I don't think he's ever cried.
The only time he's ever cried is probably like, when Batman, why don't you love me, man? Why don't you love me? Why did you let me die? Like, dude, I don't know. I didn't know you were, you know, tortured by the Joker. My bad.
My bad. It's all good now. But anyways, I love the fact that Alfred kind of steps in here. Oh, I know that voice. It's Cobblepot. So this is Penguin's mother?
Yes, Constance Cobblepot.
I don't know. I know Penguin was saying like, yeah, you know, my family's in on it. I don't trust him. I don't trust him.
You don't trust the Penguin?
I don't trust Penguin at all. I think he lied. I think, you know, well, I mean, I think we know not to trust Penguin, right?
You know what? I'm going to say no. I kind of trust Penguin.
Really?
Yeah.
His sleaziness makes him so trusty.
No, because I do feel like he's not bullshitting us when he talks to us.
Okay, fine.
I feel like he actually is telling us the truth. I think, yes, he knows things. He's not going to divulge information.
Okay.
And again, Constance is part of the Corvallis. Okay. However, I think he actually is telling us the truth. I think he just doesn't want to be involved in anything. I do believe him when he says, I'm a changed man. I think he's just like, I don't want to do this. Leave me alone.
All right. I wouldn't be surprised if we visit him and he's like getting a cut because he's actually sneaking some of the Lazarus Pit stuff to the owls or like back and forth or leaking information from the owls to the League of Assassins so then they could fight each other because there's some financial gain there for him. I don't know. We'll have to see. But for now, we do learn that there is a masquerade that is going to happen. Also, love the jab about rich people always having to have parties for no reason. And this kind of sets up this idea that we're going to, I guess, improve our masks so that we could kind of tune into the voice of the owls, the court, to who actually is at this party, because we know the Court of Owls is made up of members that are Gotham's elite. All I have to say with this whole scene, this reminded me of a CW show. That is all. It reminded me of a CW show. Any CW show. All the CW shows are just copy and pastas of the others. This is something
copy and pastas.
Yeah. Copy and paste. Copy and pastas. They are. I used to watch The Flash, and this is something I could totally see happening in The Flash. They're like, wait a second. And it's kind of like a mix of like, because CW, right? They don't go like hardcore.
No, they can't.
DC.
Yeah.
They can't, right? So what they do is they bring in a little bit of Mystery Inc., right? Like that Scooby-Doo vibe, and then mash it together with DC. And then that's all the CW shows. If you really think about it, that's what that is. And that's what the scene reminded me of. You heard the cheesy music, the cheesy lines. The jab back and forth with the awkward pauses in between CW show.
You know what? I agree with you. Maybe Gotham Knights is a CW show. Which is also, don't they have the Teen Titans show or whatever it is?
They do.
What's it called?
They do.
Guardians? I don't even know what it's called. I haven't watched it.
Isn't it Titans?
Yes, it is just Titans.
Yeah, I'm like, Guardians? What? Well, we know who doesn't watch CW stuff here.
No, listen, I used to love CW shows. When I was a kid, I had a box, like an illegal box, that only played, like it had a few channels, and one of them was Channel 68, which was an LA Warner Brothers / CW channel.
Ah.
I used to watch all the good shows, yeah.
They were good. But how do we feel about this little Scooby-Doo plan of the Bat family to kind of infiltrate this masquerade and use our mask to, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It can't go wrong, right?
I don't know about this per se, but it leads me to another train of thought, which is, you know how all the tropes we've seen, we've played a few games, we've seen a lot of tropes mm-hmm. in terms of like characters, whatever. Why is it that rich people always have secret societies where they wear masks? Is it actually legit? Like, it's always a thing. There's always a secret society of masked rich people that do creepy things.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to think that maybe the conspiracies are right. And these rich people are lizard people that are all billionaires. Just kidding. I'm not going to go that far. But why is there always that trope of rich people have these weird, creepy societies?
Because it's true.
That's
I guess it's true. We're not rich, so we don't know. When I hit that jackpot, I'll let you know if you start seeing me buy like masquerade mask and like dressing fancy, you know, I hit the lottery.
Okay, good to know. You wouldn't tell if you won the lottery. You wouldn't tell me. Would you keep it secret?
Let's continue our adventures in Gotham. Well, like Alfred said, security is going to be tight, and that means that we have to figure out more security details of the masquerade that's happening at the Orchard Hotel. So we're going to meet the head of security there, who is Mark Hendricks. But guess what? On our way to the marker to find him, we land on the marker and we see his car, but he's missing and we just have to go find him. Don't worry about the body on the floor. There's like a dead body.
Honestly, I thought that was Mark Hendricks at first.
That's what I thought.
I'm like, oh, he's dead.
Like, I'm like, firstly, he's the head of security, okay? So he's not being driven around. If anything, he's driving someone of importance around from the Orchard Hotel.
Right.
So why was someone else in the car? Or unless it's like just someone that was riding along with him. They don't really explain that, but I just found it I chuckled a little bit when Batgirl's just like, she starts to hear the police radio and she's like, ah, that's Mark Hendricks. And then I just take off and I say nothing about the dead body on the floor.
That's true. We didn't say anything. I honestly assumed that was Mark Hendricks and I was following the train of blood that was Mark Hendricks. It was only until we'll find out what happens that I didn't realize that it was Mark Hendricks.
Same here. So pretty much what happened, like I said, your character will hear, in my case, Batgirl hears the police radio and they're talking about trouble near Gotham Naval Research Facility. And that's kind of where we have to go because we just know somehow that that has to be Mark Hendricks because the owls kidnapped him. It was a little bit of a stretch, but whatever. When you get there, you'll actually see Mark Hendricks surrounded, like swarmed by a bunch of owl guards and feral talons. So your mission starts as soon as you get there. You have to defend Mark Hendricks, defend this door where more owl guards are trying to break down to kind of kill Mark Hendricks because they don't want him to talk because he knows the security details. And you have to defeat waves of enemies. And if you really want to go further, like the Keener here, Nick, which I'm pretty sure you did this, you're going to have to defeat enemies by throwing them three times and performing three grab strikes, which we never really talked about before. Do you do these in these missions? Do you try to perform these moves in order to get like bonus completion?
Well, you think I obviously do because you called me a Keener. Thanks a lot.
I do think you do.
I don't do these.
Well, you're the side mission guy.
I love doing all the side missions, but when it's always like an objective in a fight, I can never complete them. I honestly forget about them. Or the only ones that I do is if it's an ambush or a silent takedown, because those ones are easy to do. But if it's like grab or interrogate or whatever, I kind of just forget. And then I just pass it. So no, I did not do it. Thank you very much.
I feel like you did and you're just lying to us. But that's another thing. No, I'm kidding.
Lie?
I'm kidding,
I would never
Nick.
Lie.
Okay.
We don't trust characters in this, but we trust each other, okay?
That is true. We do trust each other. So How did you find this whole fight? Because it is pretty chaotic. You have to defend Mark Hendricks, make sure that he's not taking any damage. But also, while they're breaking down this wall, this door has a health bar to it, so it can't reach 0% or else it'll be knocked down. Please make sure the door does not reach 0%. I forgot about defending the door, and it reached about 30% till I realized.
That didn't happen in this part, but there was an instance where I was doing one of those side missions that's like this, where you have to like stop them from getting data or whatever. And it was like that they were way too high level for me, and I kept forgetting, but I managed to do it 3% left. I had to hold the 3% for like 5 minutes to get that to happen. Anyway, it didn't happen in this one because I gotta tell you, Cam, I'm really OP at this point in the game. Like, my gear is so greasy. And I spent, right before this mission, I spent one night just doing all these side quests and all these, like, crimes and stopped all these crimes or whatever. So I leveled up a bunch. And I got this prime gear with electricity that electrocutes all my enemies. My defense, my attack, all the stats are so high. And I wonder, for you, the reason why you had trouble is because you didn't change any goddamn equipment.
Whoa.
Are you still using level 5 Batarangs right now? Tell the truth.
No, not completely. But I do not do that upgrading stuff as often as I should.
It helps so much.
I know it does. It does. But I didn't actually find this too difficult. Okay.
Right.
It was just the door. Remembering that you have to watch the door, which I have forgetful memory. So that's why I forgot. Also, make sure to scan your surroundings because that will also help you in realizing where everyone is situated. So then you could see if there's a guy going to the door, then you could kind of throw a range attack to distract him from actually trying to get the door down.
I had a feeling this day was coming. You wouldn't believe the things that I heard at the hotel.
The court probably wanted to make sure you didn't talk.
Shit, they're real? That explains the masks. Look, one of my guys was feeding them info. And you know what? You should probably have all the same intel too.
Thanks. This is incredibly helpful.
This city is going to the birds, I swear.
Who says that? Who says this city is going to the birds, I swear? I swear Gotham isn't set in the 1940s. Like, what?
That's a dialogue, like, chalk that up to CW dialogue right there. Like, that's, this is going to the birds. CW. Oh my God. Yes, the Court of Owls. We get it. Good joke.
We get it. Although now I'm just going to try to fit that into my like everyday dialogue when I'm complaining about something and, you know, the city isn't doing, I'll be like, the city's going to the birds.
You got to do it in a New York accent though.
Oh no, I'm not even going to try. You were waiting for me to try. You got to do it.
This city's going to the birds. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, that's good. That's good. I can't do that. We'll leave the impressions to you, Nick. But yeah, we finally are getting, even though we know that Mark is not a comedian, we finally actually have some intel to help us understand what to do next. So it's time to evaluate.
What if our starting point is earlier? Batman died while he was investigating the Court of Owls.
You think Ra's found out about it? But why come after his heir?
Ra's cares about two things. Rooting out corruption and protecting the Lazarus pits. So if the court was using an extract from the pits to create talents...
Ra's blows a gasket, steps in himself. Things escalate, both he and Bruce end up dead.
And without Batman keeping a lid on Gotham's corruption, the court starts to stretch its wings.
The League follows Ra's to Gotham, and there's nobody to stop them from attacking the court.
Gotham City becomes ground zero for a goddamn war.
And no Batman to save it.
One thing about this scene is you could actually see that the family is really hurting. Like, they're still hurting with Bruce being gone. And why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I don't know in your instance, but in my instance, when Tim is like, I miss Batman, I miss Bruce. And then...
I was was trying to take it.
And then Dick, in my case, I don't know again if it's Batgirl, in your case, if it's Barbara. Yeah. But in my case, Dick just looks at him and then is like, nah, I'm not going to deal with this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk to him. And I was like, wow, that's so gutless.
I like how I was trying to come from that emotional moment, that emotional clip of just remembering the father, the family,
nope,
to Nick just laughing about it because of Dick Grayson's reaction. But also Batgirl does do that. I think what it was, to tell you the truth, I think it's just, and we'll talk about this in our recap of the game in our Patreon episode, but I think it's how they animated it. I think it was just more supposed to be like I'm watching him be really sad and it hurts me to see a fellow Bat family be sad. Don't laugh at my theory, okay? That's the only
No, because he looks at him like he's like has leprosy, okay? And then, so again, super emotional moment, but all I remember for me watching this was laughing at that and be like, oh, damn, Dick, you asshole. And then was Jason just saying, he's going to be in all-out war. That's all I remember.
It was very abrupt transition back to the conversation. I don't think anyone really acknowledged. And maybe it was that they don't even know how to go about that conversation because they're hurting as well, right? So we'll talk more about how some of these cutscenes come together. But we do hear that the Bat family, especially Tim, is hurting that Bruce is gone. And we learn a lot about Ra's al Ghul, and quite frankly, he's pretty menacing. He's a pretty menacing villain that I don't think Liam Neeson did him justice.
No.
I honestly think he's actually one of the most underrated villains, but he's not really a villain. Like, he's done a lot of horrible things, but because he's not like a full out villain, I feel like we kind of just, he's kind of looked to as like, not like he's, it's more lighthearted because there's this whole past between him and Batman, but he's actually done some messed up stuff.
I think they look at him like almost like an anti-hero, I guess, where yes, he can be good, but yes, he can be bad.
I think maybe he thinks he has good intentions, but I think he's pretty bad.
No, I agree. But the whole thing of League of Shadows is them trying to protect, you know, any places that get too corrupt.
Yes.
So the intention is good. However, he is bad.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like in every iteration we see him, we never really get a full sense of how bad he is. Like, when it comes to, like, all the horrible things that he's done. So I completely understand, yeah, because he has good intentions. So he's usually shined in this light of an anti-hero. But I would kind of want to see more of the worst side of him. I think it would make for a really interesting portrayal of how he could be.
I think the issue is I don't think he's ever been fully fleshed out. I don't think we've got a version of him where there's a lot of character development. He's usually a side character to a villain. Like, he's a side villain. And that's why, like, in the games, in the movies, I don't think he was fully ever fleshed out.
Yeah.
So we really see his full motivations. I would love to see a game based on Ra's al Ghul being the main villain. I think we would get to learn a lot more about, you know, his wrongdoings or his evil.
Yeah, and how far we know he will go far to do what he thinks is right, but like how far? Anyways, we did hear, you know, this story from Talia that Ra's was acting, and you hear Batgirl reiterated again, Ra's al Ghul was acting a little bit weird right before he died. Do we think that is true? I kind of do, because I don't know why he would fight Batman. Like, I've been going around trying to make sense of it. Nothing I don't understand other than Batman and him were in, you know, kind of on the same page, and they're setting this up for some reason. They faked their deaths. But other than that, I don't know why he would go to kill Batman.
Well, I mean, my theory is that they're both still alive, so.
Well, we'll have to see.
This is all a plan between them both.
It's a plan between them both. That's your theory. My theory is I don't know. After the scene, we head off to the Orchard Hotel and head into the penthouse. There's a really funny dialogue here between Alfred and Batgirl, because Alfred kind of guides you to where to enter the hotel. And she makes a joke that, ooh, the penthouse, this is nice. And he's like, don't get carried away. We don't have access to Bruce Wayne's credit cards, Master Bruce's credit cards. And I mean, who has access to all of his estate? This is the question. Who do you think has access to his estate?
It's got to be Alfred, right?
That's what I thought.
Like, who else would he trust?
So is this a case of kind of earlier in this episode, you were asking me if I would tell you if I won the lottery? I didn't answer that question, but I think Alfred is kind of telling us he wouldn't tell anyone if he inherited a bunch of money.
No.
Because he would be the person that would inherit all that money.
Alfred, actually, you know what? I told you I didn't trust Alfred in this game after that weird walk around where he almost seemed like he was smiling. So I don't know. Maybe Alfred is being
blackmailed?
No, not blackmailed. Like someone's impersonating Alfred. That's what I think is happening.
Ooh, there's an imposter.
Is that a crazy theory? I think it is. But
that is a crazy theory. I think it's a crazy theory, but you know what? Roll with it. You do you. We head into the hotel and you could hear the sounds of the partygoers, the guards walking around. So at this point, you actually have to avoid them, but you should listen to what they're saying because there's some interesting dialogue happening here as well. You're trying to find your way to the ballroom. So you have to avoid the cameras that are set up. And to do that, you kind of want to head to the security office to make things a lot easier for you. This is where Alfred will kind of guide you to disable the security system. And when you do that, that will alert a bunch of guards, like a bunch of guards, because there's no security, which I actually like this point in this game because there's so many games out there where you disable the security system, no one notices. Like the guard that was watching the cameras doesn't notice that the cameras aren't working. Like no one notices. So I like how as soon as it shuts off, there's like a bunch of guys that are like, hey, what's going on here? And then you're free pretty much to beat them down brutally to a pulp if you want.
I give them credit that it is not easy to sleuth around in this game. They definitely are on guard and very alert, which is frustrating sometimes, but realistic. You don't want them to like, oh, I heard a noise. I'm not going to do anything about it. This is very much like they are after you if that's the case.
Give them credit where credit's due. Once you beat them down, which it's pretty easy, but there are quite a few enemies, so you just kind of have to maneuver around that. When they attack you, just time your dodges and all that. But once you do that, you head over to the ballroom. There's a room with a bunch of chairs. They're green, and you have to grapple above there to kind of peer into the ballroom. You'll be in the ballroom, but ceiling high and like kind of looking down. And that's kind of where you get an overview of the whole party. And holy crap, I would have wanted to be invited to this party. It is fancy. Fancy. Did you see the table settings? Did you see the table settings?
Oh, I always wonder like what my life would be like if I was like uber rich, but I feel like I wouldn't be myself. So I like who I am.
Oh,
it is pretty crazy. I always wonder like, especially they get so much free stuff, like the richer you get, that it would just be like the fanciest crap. And we saw what it looked like. It's pretty fun, but kind of weird that you got to wear masks. That's all I'm saying. I would not feel comfortable.
It's kind of weird.
Being in these, being in it's this weird, weird cult.
Yeah. I know no one could see your face. Think of the acne that they probably have as well, because you're just, there's no. Those masks do not look breathable. They're like, if you know, you took drama in high school in North America, you probably had those white, like the Jabberwocky type of mask. You cannot breathe. Those things fog up. Try being a high schooler with glasses and having to wear those masks and for some reason wearing them. It was not pretty for me as a kid in drama class.
These are super rich people. I think they have the proper skincare routine.
Those masks
they don't have
do
to
not,
worry about the masks.
They are, okay, yeah, they probably have the skincare, but I'm telling you, that mask gives them pimples. There's no breathing, like no airflow at all underneath those masks. What there is, though, at this event is hilarious dialogue. Like I mentioned earlier, you really want to listen into these conversations amongst the wealthy, you'll see an ear-shaped icon, and you could kind of toggle your camera around to those points to eavesdrop into those conversations. My favorite one had to be, you heard Mrs. Cobblepot talk about how Bruce is trying to outdo them. Everyone is jealous of Bruce Wayne. Did you have a favorite conversation here?
No, everyone's snooty. I don't like it.
Yeah, they're very
However,
snooty.
There was, wasn't the cop Montoya there? Why was she there?
Yeah.
I was confused by that.
Well, also, Bruce Wayne's, was that his casket?
I don't understand what's going on exactly, but.
Because
I,
you see a picture of him.
Was he a part of the Court of Owls?
I don't know, but you see a picture of him, right? Like a memorial. But then next to it, it looks like a giant casket, or maybe it's a giant table. And then there's flowers on there, like wreaths. That's why I thought it was a casket. But who knows? We don't know.
It is a memorial.
There is memorial. It's a memorial. But is it? Is his body there? Like his casket there? Because there was, if you look back, there is something next to the picture, and it looks either like a long table with two wreaths and a picture of Bruce, or like with an insignia on it, or it's his casket. You know how like people lay flowers on top of the casket? That's what I thought it was. But who knows? All I do know is that there are 9 conversations here in total that you can listen in on. And once you hear from all of them, you hear the Herald.
Pillars of Gotham, may I please have your attention? It is my absolute pleasure to present our host for the evening.
That has to be the voice of the court. He's not even trying to be subtle.
Thank you all for the warm welcome. But tonight is not about me. We are here to remember one of Gotham's greatest sons, Bruce Wayne. Now, you all knew the Playboy. I knew his charity. A brash defender of Gotham's best. Though he's gone now, Bruce's contributions to this city will be felt for decades to come. This is for you, Bruce. The last of our precious Wayne family. You've helped us in ways you never realized.
This is all BS, okay? Because I want to know why the court cares so much about Bruce Wayne. I don't think they do. And like, what do they mean the Bruce Wayne family has helped in more ways than they even know about? Did they kill?
No, Bruce Wayne? What? Like,
I don't know. Did they put it all into action? Was it their deaths that kind of helped elevate the court? Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the assumption? That was the assumption. The court is now taking... That was from the last clip, right? Was they were saying the court is now like beefed up because Bruce is gone. And now that's going to make the league pissed.
Yeah, but like they are so fascinated by the Wayne family. Like... I know we think it's Jacob Kane, right? And Jacob Kane is Bruce's family. So to me, for this, it goes further than like a death that like Bruce's death. It like goes more, I feel like there's a more complicated relationship here. Like did, maybe that's why Roz was like, hey, I'm going to fight you now because these Court of Owls people are after my Lazarus pit. Wait a second. I wanted you to be next in line, but you have ties to the Court of Owls because of your family. Like maybe it goes deeper in that sense. I don't know.
Yeah. It also seems like a celebration to me. I don't even think they're mourning his death. I think they're celebrating his death.
Yeah.
In like that's a mocking way. In like a, they're mocking him. I think that's how I felt anyway.
Well, that would explain a lot about this party. Well, we find out that the voice is also here, and he also is going to be running away from us because that's exactly what he does after he says this little bit. And he's protected by a flurry of guards and cameras. He is one man, but there is so much security behind this guy. I mean, when you're rich, why not? Go big or go home.
Oh, 100%. Always. Always go big.
Now, for this part, you could go around and it's best to remain undetected. However, Nick, I have a feeling that you fought your way through this.
Yeah, super easy. I'm a super cool detective. I know exactly everything I'm doing at all times. I have no problems ever in any gameplay I ever play ever.
Good to know.
And I didn't hear either.
Good to know, Nick. Well, if you don't want to be like Nick and actually, you know, snoop around and try to get some silent takedowns, well, go the incognito route. First, you got to head to a room that has a control panel for all the cameras. If you shut that off first to the room to the right, then you're going to have a much easier time moving freely, discreetly, really enjoying that. I love that part because I feel like, especially as Batgirl, that's kind of how they make her movesets. So it makes sense to me. From there, you'll have your eyes set on the voice of the court. But then he wants to play some piano, and guess what? A secret passage opens up. What a cliche. This is definitely CW. We find out that we can't actually follow him through that passage. Although I feel like the Bat family should have been able to figure out the unlock for the piano and then go through the passage. But instead, we find out that he's heading to the 13th floor. So we're going to take another way around the hall. It's actually at the other end of the hall that you entered to find a owl door, which they don't make discreetly. I mean, they paint the thing with like all this glow in the dark stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very clear that it's an owl door that you could interact with. Once you activate that, you could head through and you're going to see record players, which means, say it with me, it is puzzle time. What were you gonna say?
As a listen to music time.
Okay, it's party time.
Can we really call it a puzzle? Like, it just doesn't feel like I'm literally just like process of elimination check marks. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, okay, fine. It's not puzzle time. It's just like it's randomly select and make sure that you get check marks. But pretty much what you're going to see these recorders that you can interact with if you want to learn more about the court. We also don't have Alfred to help us out here because the comms are down, which another CW cliche. And then we walk around. Like, so once you kind of interact with all of the record players, you'll walk around, you'll find a fireplace and then an owl statue on it where you could interact with, and it reveals a secret entrance. You go down there, down the hall, you'll find a huge table, which apparently the court was having a meeting, and there's a huge yellow button on it. So that just tells me to press that, see what that is. Once you press that, you're going to notice that there's a projector that plays, and it's going to show notable people in Gotham. Batgirl pretty much figures that this is a hit list that the court is going after. Like, these are probably crucial people. Oh my gosh, I just had a theory.
Oh, say it.
What if Bruce Wayne, I guess I'm kind of late to this theory.
Yeah, what?
Bruce Wayne was probably, or Batman was probably on the hit list. And then the owls set up this conflict probably between him and Ra's al Ghul to make it look as though they're fighting for natural means, but then it's actually all plotted by the court.
Yeah, obviously. I think this is what we can all assume.
I just got to that. Just got to that. But that's the theory I'm going to continue with now.
Bruce, the whole time we've been learning that Bruce was already looking into the owls, which is probably a sign.
But I didn't think they were orchestrating his death. But now I think they orchestrated his death. Anyways, we now see this projector that reveals this hit list of, I believe it's three notable people in Gotham. And from there, it's pretty much like it just switches from like 0 to 100, like real, real quick. All of a sudden you hear alarms going. There's like a bunch of owl guards and talons just appear and start trying to fight you. Yep. And you need to get out of there as soon as possible. Just get out of there quickly now that you have the intel that you need. So once you get the intel that you need, you'll circle back and you'll see a room with a bunch of Gotham buildings. They're like models. And for some reason, this reminded me of Zoolander because they look like models for like buildings for ants. But in it, this is where the real puzzle hits. This is the puzzle time, because you have to actually align the date the buildings were built. You learned them on the pictures. That's the puzzle.
This is fun.
Just goes by elimination. But you see the dates on the statues, and then you have to stand on these, like, this little circular, I don't even know what it is, but you got to stand on the ground on the circles and then line it up from, like, oldest to newest buildings. And then once you do that, you reveal the puzzle, right, Nick?
Listen, I just want to have a one-on-one here with the audience here.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, audience, we are gamers. We're game players. We play these games. We do this show where we try to do in-depth talk about these games. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, you know, I get upset with puzzles, okay? So sometimes if there is a process of elimination, and yes, I should read what it says, but I don't. You know why? Because sometimes I get very used to the voice acting. I wish there was more voice acting to tell me what the puzzle said, which would be great. However, with this puzzle specifically, okay? That's the end scene with the audience, by the way. Now I'm back to you.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm back to
end
you,
scene.
Cam.
Okay, all now right, you're back scene. To podcast. Okay,
now
cool.
I'm back. This was a fun puzzle because I knew exactly what to do. I saw all the paintings and the years, and I'm like, okay, it's going to go into ascending order from oldest to newest, or newest to oldest, or whatever. I think it was oldest to newest. And then I'm like, okay, each one, they're not aligned with their picture perfectly. And I'm like, okay, so they go there, boom, 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 boom. And this one I liked. This was fun.
This one was fun, very clearly laid out for Nick. And guess what? If you solved it, well, you get a little bit of a surprise.
You're not the first masked villain to try to sell me that line.
The only one hiding behind the mask is you, Ms. Gordon.
Jacob? Kane? How?
I know. Just like I knew my nephew Bruce was out there, keeping the peace in his armored pajamas. Don't worry, I didn't tell anyone. Call it loyalty to Martha.
We all live double lives, trying to shelter the city from chaos. It's just, our court is quieter about it.
You're not protecting this city. You and your cult are using it as your personal playground.
Yeah, Batman would probably say the same thing in your position. That's why I never told Bruce about the court.
We have the same ends, the same enemies.
It's madness. You're not serving us.
Unlike you, I don't kill people.
A difference in tactics, I'll admit.
Okay, all right. Well, we got to talk. Firstly, when Jacob Kane was revealed, it wasn't shocking to me because we've been anticipating this reveal for such a long time. But then when I was kind of like, oh, obviously. And then he says, Gordon. I'm like, wait, what? He knows about everyone of the Bat family. He knows about Bruce Wayne being Batman in his armored pajamas. That's what shocked me.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and he knows, obviously, Nightwing and Robin and Jason Todd and Red Hood. Okay. So I wasn't surprised about that, though.
What? I didn't think that he would know. I thought it would have been more like Barbara Gordon would have been like, oh, snap, Jacob Kane, I need to tell the Bat family, like that kind of thing. I didn't know there would be another surprise to it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I can see that. Yeah. I just assumed that because Jacob is Bruce's uncle and the way he has talked lately and the whole scene in the graveyard at his funeral made me assume that he knew that Bruce was Batman.
Really?
So that was my thought.
Interesting.
Already. And so I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised by any of this. And I think I don't like that it's predictable as much. We knew that Jacob Kane was in the Court of Owls. We didn't know.
The voice of the court, yeah.
The voice of the court. But it just seemed too predictable to me. I feel like they should have hid it better in a way, maybe like masked him up in a different way where it didn't seem it was like him. But it just seemed a little like it wasn't that
too
crazy
on the nose.
Cutscene for me. Yeah, too on the nose.
No, for me, it was definitely like we knew that was Jake Kane from the start. And yes. I think it's now a question of we know this franchise so well. Even if you don't think you know it that well, just because of how popular Batman has become, you know the stories out there. You know kind of the characters and a little bit about their background. For those that heard of the Court of Owls, they know that there's some tie-in with the Wayne family. So it's like, how much do we want games to diverge from that? Which we could talk all about in the last segment. But I do want to say I was kind of laughing out loud when he tried to recruit us. He's like, you could join me.
Oh, I was
join
waiting for
me,
that.
Barbara. Yeah. I was like, heck no. You literally try to throw me down into a pit with all these spikes. And now you want me to ask you to join. Where were you when the court was why didn't you recruit me before you tried to kill me? That was the thing. I was like, what?
Yes. Once again, here's another enemy who is, you know, on their high horse, thinking that they're doing justice or doing right. So we got now two, the League of Shadows and the Court of Owls, both thinking that they're doing right.
Yes.
And they're both doing wrong. Because again, we confront him saying, you murder people. And he's like, pish posh. Who cares?
Pish posh. They're poor people. That's what he's thinking because he's wealthy. But he does mention that he's trying to figure out who killed Bruce as well. So this is kind of contradictory because you, in the scene prior when we were at the ballroom, it kind of seemed like they were celebrating his death. But he's saying that he's also mourning and trying to find out who killed Bruce. So there's more mysteries if the League doesn't know, if Talia doesn't know, if now Jacob Kane doesn't know, and they're seeming like the two warring factions right now. Who killed Bruce Wayne? This is a mystery that we're going to have to like build a board game out of. It is Clue.
This is because I'm disappointed by this. However.
No. We got to talk about the disappointment. Save your disappointment for the end. But yeah, go on.
Yes, I'm just saying all I'm thinking is because I was disappointed, I think that it was on purpose. They knew that we were going to know it's Jacob Kane. They're going to reveal Jacob Kane, and this is now episode 4. So they're setting us up for a crazier reveal, in my opinion, by like giving us this soft one that we all predicted. And that's why we have no idea really who killed Bruce Wayne but why Ra's was after him and all that stuff. But yeah. I think there's a bigger reveal that's going to shock us. And this was to subvert our expectations. That's my guess.
Okay. Well, I think you may be onto something, but we don't really have time to think about it because we get swarmed with enemies, like swarmed with owl guards. So you're going to have to beat them down to get out because we don't want to hang out there any longer. And on your way out, you're going to notice a few new enemies because the League of Shadow Assassins are also at the party. They are the party crashers and they are beating down court members and they use a lot of smoke to get away. So every time you go closer to them, they just like smoke bomb and vanish, which I thought was really, really cool. But there's a lot to manage here because you have the feral talents, you have the owl guards, you have the assassins. And I didn't expect the League of Assassins reveal to happen so soon like this. This kind of seemed like it was supposed to be near like the end of the
game. It's pretty cool though.
Really, really cool.
All I kept thinking was, there's no chance these Court of Owls have any chance against these. Like, these League of Shadows guys with their giant blades, and they go into smoke, and they're like, jar, jar, rah, rah. And then it's like this old man owl guy is like, here's my gun, and I'm dead.
I mean,
it's just like,
you
no
see,
chance.
I only saw owl guards' bodies on the floor. That's all I'm going to say. You do also see another type of League of Shadows villain or enemy called a Rocketeer. These enemies, they're pretty much like the heavy type characters that like the grenaders, the rocket launcher dudes, and they're throwing like these Molotov rocket launcher things. I don't know. It's really cool, but you have to dodge the targets. So it throws out the targets on the floor that you have to kind of get out of the way of, or else you are doomed. This was a little bit of a struggle to manage all the chaos that was coming at me.
Again, if you changed up your gear.
Don't pray. Don't pray.
This was an easy fight with my OP electrocutioner wisdom sticks or whatever they're called. I don't know.
Well, I am playing this as Bruce Wayne would have wanted us to play this. Okay?
Not cool costumes? Come on, Cam. Just pick a new costume. That's all I'm asking. You can add so many upgrades.
Next episode, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what that costume is.
I hope so.
Okay. I'll tell you. But if you are like me and you might have had a little bit of a hard time with this, get health packs. They will be your savior 100%. Through this experience. But you take all these enemies out and you'll see a few more assassins on the way. But don't worry. You just got word from Alfred that the police are on their way. So you don't got time to deal with all that. You need to get out and go. And that's exactly what we're going to do as we head in to recap this episode here on AutoSync.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
GCPD is about to enter the hotel. I'd suggest a quick exit.
Montoya, it's Batgirl.
I take it you heard what happened at the hotel.
Actually, I was there.
Yeah? Then care to tell me who the hell those assassins were?
That was the League of Shadows. I'll send you everything we have on them.
That was pretty much the big reveal of this chapter. We have been waiting for such a long time. It feels like, but it really wasn't that long of a time.
No,
I mean, four
short.
Episodes when you think about it. But so much has happened. So much storylines have been revealed. We've been waiting for the League of Shadows to truly make an appearance outside Talia and Raj. And we got that. How did you feel? Actually, before we get to the League, let's talk about the overall development of the story right now, because you have your gripe with how predictable you feel it is, but you do feel that it's leading us on this path for a certain reason.
I'm still invested. Like, don't get me wrong. I enjoy this story and I'm enjoying these characters. We predicted from episode one that Jacob Kane was the, you know, voice of the court. We predicted this right away. And this is, again, we haven't played the game all the way through. We're playing as we go with these episodes. And we predicted it without even knowing. And sure enough, a few episodes later, Jacob Kane is the voice of the court. So I do like to be shocked once in a while. Although a lot of I do guess right most of the time. But yeah, I'm hoping that it leads to something a little bit more. So big thing for me here in this game. I'm really enjoying it so far. We talked about our combat system, whatever. That's maybe one of the gripes. And then the Jacob Kane thing, sure. But one thing I cannot stand that it keeps annoying me every time is Dick. I don't know if Barbara does this, but when he's talking to Alfred or talking to someone, why does he always have to call them Belfry?
Yeah, it is. It's the
why?
Same with Barbara.
You're literally so talking
confusing.
To a human. Why do you have to say Belfry?
But maybe because it's like a code name, right? Like, because they don't use Barbara. Were they going to say Alfred?
It's just annoying to me.
It is a first name. Yeah.
You're right, though. You're right. It probably is a code name.
That's what I kind of wrote it off to. It's his code name.
But every time he does it, it pisses me off.
I wasn't Belfry. Quite.
Belfry.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you there. But I think what even makes me more upset is if this is like a fake, oh, you think this is the story, but it's not. And the actual reveal that's supposed to like get our attention as players isn't a big payoff. I think I'll be a little disappointed.
Well, Batman's alive, so get ready.
All right. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. This is just a bonding experience for the Bat family. They're like, he's like, gotcha. Now you guys know you can work together.
No, this is not a training simulation for the Bat family. I will be so mad. I will ask for a refund. I will say, though, that I do want to know more about what exactly Jacob Kane's motive is, like, and why he believes, or who he believes is at fault for Bruce's death, which I think it's going to be Raj. Like, he's going to think, or like at least pin it on the League, although he may know more.
Technically, he did kill Bruce. Bruce killed himself, but because Raj was there to kill him.
Well, then technically he didn't kill himself.
Yeah.
I mean, technically he killed himself. Technically, Raj didn't kill him. He made the decision.
Semantics.
Semantics. Well, you know what's not semantics? The fact that we're going to be back here next episode. It brings a team together to pull this together. So thank you, Greg, Dylan, and Chris behind the scenes working hard at recording this and helping us put this together. And like I said, we will be back next episode to deep dive into who killed Batman right here on Autosave.